Hello, everyone. Wanted to pop in at the beginning of the episode real quick to let you know that starting in the new year, this show will have ads. We have moved to a new hosting site, and the ads will finally allow me to start paying Ron and Chuck for all that they do for the shows. So, like, $1 an episode. Also would like to let you know that if you are listening to the shows through the Comic Book Rundown feed, then starting in the new year, you may have to resubscribe to the show on a new feed, depending on the podcast app you are listening to it on. I have been trying to get the podcast apps to work with me, but they have me jumping through a bunch of different hoops. Spotify is the only one that was of any real help. So if the new year starts and the feed hasn't updated for you, go give us another search in your app and subscribe to the feed that is still putting out episodes. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and this episode we're going to be talking about the brand new episode of Kamen Rider Zetsu, episode 15, Lighten. Yes, that's right, new episode just dropped, and man, this episode was great. This episode was a lot of fun. And actually, I did find out some new information, too, along with this episode dropping. I actually have, I guess, some news. I mean, news-ish. There was a poster that came out, which is kind of, I guess, revealing the next arc for Zetsu. And if you've seen it, it looks pretty awesome. It's got Nox in his new rider form. Secondary rider, I guess you can call him. And it looks kind of sweet. Like, it's kind of his, it looks like his Nox Knight outfit, but a little, I don't want to say flashier, a little brighter, a little orangier. But along with the poster, with that, it also has some additional riders. Some antagonists, if you will. So if Nox is 4 and Baku is 7, or I guess I could say Odaka is 4 and Baku is 7, we've got riders, I think it was 3, 5, and 6. I think that's what it was. And they look similar to Nox Knight's costume. But, and when I say that, the visors look similar. I guess the outfits kind of look a little bit similar as well. But it's very interesting. And then there's Zero's on there as well. And it's almost confirmed that Zero is Agent Zero of Code. But it does. So it did make me question that. With these other three riders coming along, these other three antagonists on this new poster for this new arc, which I believe starts with episode 16. I thought I heard somebody say it starts with this episode, episode 15, but I think it actually starts with the next episode, episode 16, which will be starting a new arc. And again, I could be wrong on that one. I was looking on the Kamen Rider Wiki for the next arc, and I couldn't find it on the wiki, so I couldn't get actual confirmation on when the next arc technically happens. So I'm going by my own assumptions here. So I apologize for that. But we've got these three, and I mentioned last week where it's almost positive that somebody in Baku's class at that cram school is going to become a writer. And I had mentioned that that I thought Zero was, you know, had these other writers in secret, these other agents in secret going on doing these other missions. I'm still not convinced that he's not, but at the same time, there's a moment in this episode that Zero mentions where Seven is his only agent. So it may not be that. So maybe these guys are other agents from somewhere else. Who knows? We'll find out more in the coming episodes, obviously. Like, we're a quarter of the way in to this show right now. You know, we're ending the first arc, so we've got a ways before we, you know, before we even get any more information. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward. This episode itself was a good end to the first arc, I think. We are getting some good closure on Nox. We're getting some good getting some introductions to other characters, which I look forward to seeing. But yeah, there's also another thing I found out today when I was looking at the Wikipedia, the Comrade Wiki, that I'm gonna have to look into because it sounds very interesting. So there was, I guess, in between episodes, and I'm assuming that these are mini episodes. I've got to do a little more digging. But in between episodes, and this may have aired after each episode over in Japan, but this mini-sodes called Kamen Rider Zetsu, Series of Sisters, Substory, Agent Minami. And like I said, I got to do a little more digging. But it says they are mini-series spinoff of Kamen Rider Zetsu. The catchphrase is, "It's tough being a work woman." And so they're missions for a Minami where she is going, doing her job, and they take place, like some of them take place specifically after certain episodes. There is, like, I don't know, maybe I think there's like one after every episode so far. So I need to check into this, because if that's the case, I kind of want to watch them and see, you know, what they are, and maybe talk about them here on the show. I think it'd be kind of fun. So, yeah, they're a web series specifically for Minami. And I did look into a little bit of it, and I know there's some nightmares that show up and she's got to take care of, I believe, at her place of work. So, I don't know. It sounds fun. It sounds interesting. I got, like I said, I gotta do a little more digging into that and see if I can try to find it online somewhere. Specifically someplace that has it that I can watch it. I mean, I'd love to see it on the YouTube channel that I watch this show on, but if I have to find somewhere else, I have to find somewhere else. Just saying. So, with all of that out of the way, let's get into the episode proper. And with that, we kind of pick up exactly where we left off. Nox has just left, and we have a couple quick scenes here of Nem still unsure of what she's to do. She even asks, she's like, "What should I do now?" And then we jump over to a scene of Minami sitting in Baku's room, you know, still waiting on him to wake up. And then we pop back into the dream world where Seven returns to the command closet and asks Zero, you know, he asks him a few questions like, what is code exactly? What is required of an agent? And who is Nox? Zero initially says that their mission is for world peace, but further explains that an agent's mission lies somewhere in a gray area where morality can't be easily judged. He then lets Seven know that Nox used to be part of Code. He used to be agent number four, but warns him that Nox is still an enemy trying to use nightmares to destroy the world, and that he can't trust Nox no matter what, and he needs to focus on his mission, which is still to eliminate the enemy. Seven, after some time, and I'm moving some things around here, Seven takes his phone out and places it on Zero's desk before joining him downstairs. Zero continues to say that Code has a greater cause that sometimes must come before human life. Seven understands now that he is just an interchangeable number made to follow orders for the organization. His dream was to become a secret agent that helped people and to look cool doing it. He says that he will finish the mission he was assigned. And then he heads over to the Gashapon machine and manages to get back the capsums that were taken from him. Zero then hands Seven a new capsum, the booster capsum, and tells him that this will boost his power enough to take out Nox. Zero then tells him not to worry his little sister too much. In the real world, Fujimi and Nausicaa follow up on the video from last episode, you know, the video of the ball lightning in the sky when it was dark. They end up finding a family that was at that they pretty much believe posted the video that was at the cabins, and they talk to them, and they're trying to narrow down where exactly that campground was at and where that family was at. That is just a quick scene, and we pop back into the dream world to Nox, who is reliving his past through a vision of what I can only assume is his final mission as an agent of Code. His driver isn't working properly and suddenly sparks and flies off his chest, now corrupted like it was when we first saw it, when he found it in that secret room. He calls up Zero on his phone to ask for backup, but Zero tells him to finish the mission on his own. That also kind of gives me the idea that he wasn't the only agent going on at this time. Or maybe he was expecting Zero to come out and help him. Honestly, who knows? But with Zero telling him that he has to finish the mission on his own, that is the moment that Four realized that he was expendable. Suddenly, a dark smoke comes flying in behind Nox, heading towards Four. Nox tries to slash at it before it can get to his past self, but as he does, everything fades out, and he appears in the room at the cram school with all of the furniture scattered around him. We then see Nox on the floor, now in a completely different room, and he hears some footprints approaching. This freaks him out, and he is trying to hide himself away when Nem walks in. She asks him if he is scared of the dark. Surprised by her presence, he asks why she is here, and she tells him that she is simply playing the role she was cast in this dream. Nox tells her to leave him alone. She doesn't, of course, and instead keeps pressing him about what he is afraid of, the darkness of nightmares, or the organization that betrayed him. He yells at her to keep quiet, basically giving his answer away, that he is afraid of the darkness, just the darkness in general. Nem brings up the fact that she can only exist in dreams, but that isn't the case for him. She tells him that he doesn't belong here. And when she's done, she gives him a little smile as she departs the room. This reflection eases whatever tension Nox was holding in until he hears glass break from somewhere. And we go to see that Seven has entered into Nox's dream to look for his mind's door. As he walks down the flight of stairs, Seven finds the mine's door open with darkness waiting there just over the threshold. Nem walks up next to him and tells him that Nox is afraid of the darkness of both Knight and his organization. Seven comes to the realization that darkness is Odica's never-ending nightmare, similar to lightning being his. As Seven and Nem head towards the mine's door, we pop back to the command closet as Zero finds Seven's phone on his desk. He hopes that Seven won't let him down, since he is his one and only agent. Again, that's something I mentioned before, which I'm still questioning if that's true or not. We'll see. We'll find that out in the future if it is or not. I mean, it's not like Zero is being forthcoming with all of his information, so it could be very misleading to us, the audience. I've watched plenty of shows where we have a very unreliable narrator, and Zero seems like somebody who's a very unreliable narrator. Back in Nox's mind, as Seven and Nem walk out of the door into his mind, Nox immediately goes for an attack with his Breakum Buster, forcing Seven to roll out of the way. He tells the two intruders to get out of his head, but Seven tells him he can't do that because he has a mission he is going to complete to eliminate the enemy. However, as Seven attaches his driver, he tells Nox that he doesn't believe he is the enemy. Seven says that he hates the bad dream, but the dreamer has done nothing wrong. It suddenly starts to get dark, and the voice says that he will never allow Nox to wake up from his dream. Seven tells Nox that everyone is afraid of something, even he was, but the night can't last forever. Eventually, the dawn will break and the light will return. And as he throws the plasma capsum in and henchens, the dark smoke barrels down on Nox, and Zetz flashes behind him to rocket into the shadow nightmare. I will say, when he is corporeal, he doesn't look like Nox Knight, so I was wrong there. And also, now that he is corporeal, Zetz has an easy target to beat up on. And he goes ham with his Inazuma blaster. Zetz uses both the blaster and the Breakum Zetzer in sword mode to push the nightmare up against a railing as they battle on. At one point, the nightmare reaches out his arm and the eye on the back of his hand releases tendrils of smoke hands that start to attack Zetz. It reminded me of the hands in Full Metal Alchemist whenever they showed up in front of the doors in that white room, anytime like they would see the truth. If you haven't watched / read Full Metal Alchemist, do yourself a favor and get on that. While the original series was fine, Brotherhood was better, and Brotherhood follows the manga closer. I mean, I'll be honest, the first one was fine. It followed the manga up to a point, but the show caught up to the manga, and so they had to kind of divert to do their own thing. The manga's great. But yeah, no, watch Brotherhood. Watch them both, but if you want to. But if you can only watch one, watch Brotherhood. I'm just saying. Anyway, Zetz is able to send some lightning back through the smoke arms into the shadow nightmare, who reverts to smoke to try and escape. But Zetz is quick on the draw and fires an arrow into him, launching him into a nearby pillar. As the fighting continues, Zetz gets hit with some feedback, giving the nightmare the opportunity to go attack Nox. But Zetz isn't out of the fight yet. He slaps in the barrier capsum and puts a shield up around Nox, who quickly yells at him that he didn't ask for his help. Zetz said that he needs to keep him from getting away, and then turns to look for the nightmare. The smoke goes flying by, so Zetz runs through his gravity capsum to pull the shadow nightmare towards him, and then the impact capsum so he can put a whooping on the nightmare. And after throwing him around with his punches, Zetz installs the plasma capsule once more, and the Shadow Nightmare declares that he will not let go of Nox, and then goes in for another attack. Back in the real world, Fujimi and Nasuka had seen the sky turn dark and the lightning ball flashing across it. They continue on their quest to locate where they think Odaka is, and I'm still not sure how they managed to piece together the connection of the ball lightning to Odaka being holed up in a campsite, but that is where we find them next, running into the campgrounds, searching a group of cabins. Like I said, I know they went and talked to this family, and that's how, I mean, even the video had them at a campsite, but that they saw the ball of lightning before they were even at the campsite. So I don't understand how they just pieced it together that the campsite was the location of Odaka. I don't want to say a loophole, but an error in the writing. They're just trying to get the plot to move along. Either way, they're at the cabins where they need to be. So that's what we got. After a few more punches are thrown, Zetz gets hit with some more feedback, forcing him to use the new booster capsule. When he activates it, it looks like fireworks are exploding from his wrists and ankles. Like wrists down across his forearms. So like his arms are up by his face. And so the fireworks are firing down. And then from his ankles toward his knees is firing up. So it looks kind of cool. When it gets all cleared up, it has some multicolored extensions on the suit. You know, it's nothing fancy, but enough to show that this is an upgrade mode for the plasma suit. You know, it's fine. But with this mode, he delivers a booster banish finisher on the Nightmare. And you know he's gone because you see a butterfly come in and suck up the energy. We see that same butterfly flying out of Odaka in the real world. So, with the Nightmare now gone, Seven goes and asks Nox why he was giving him warnings this entire time. He could have just killed him off anytime he wanted to. Nox says that he hates the organization, not the agents who have done nothing wrong. Nem sees this as Nox trying to protect Seven, but he just says that Seven was just a foolish, ignorant agent. As Nox walks away, removing the ring from his finger and dropping it on the ground, Seven says that they are even now. Back in the real world, Baku opens his eyes and Minami is happy to see that her brother is finally awake. He looks over her shoulder and sees that his closet door is open with the command closet in full view. Baku apologizes for not telling her about being an agent. Minami, understanding this is something he really wants to do, asks him not to push himself too hard. At the campground, Fujimi and Nasuka find a roped-off cabin and head to the front door. When Fujimi grabs the handle, the door is unlocked, and Nasuka is worried that it could be a trap. Undeterred, Fujimi rushes in, yelling for Odaka, only to find an empty bed. Nasuka goes to look in another room as he picks up a bandage on the ground and then gets a gun shoved into his back. Odaka comes up from behind, telling him that he still has something he has to do. Fujimi asks why he disappeared on him a year ago. Nasuka comes running in, and Odaka pushes Fujimi toward her and then levels the gun at both of them as he backs up into the room he came out of. When he closes the door, he used the erase capsule somehow, because he literally like had the gun pointing at them, puts the gun down, closes the door with the other hand, and then automatically the handle's gone. So, yeah. But yeah, he uses the erase capsule on the handle so they couldn't follow him, but I don't know how he got it in his hand. Whatever. Handle's gone because of the erase capsule. Fujimi bangs on the door, calling out to him, as Nausicaa watches on helplessly. Elsewhere, the butterfly is guided into a domed garden with a bunch of other butterflies by a mysterious figure. Nox, now all clad in black, walks in and greets this figure as the lady. She asks him how it feels to wake up from such a long dream, as he grabs a blank capsum from a bowl on the table. Unlike the ones that he made blank, which were gray, blanked out, this one is completely white, like it's white all over. Which I think indicates that this capsum could potentially be imbued with power at some point. He tells her that the boundaries between dreams and real life are still blurred. The lady says that one day that will disappear. And then she talks about a dream she had where she was a butterfly, but then woke up. Just then, one of the butterflies from the dome came flying in, and the lady continued, asking if this butterfly was a human dreaming of being a butterfly or the other way around. Nox says that it doesn't matter, because either way, it is still a nightmare. She says then they need to work to make the world, to make a world without code come true. And that's how the episode ends. Like I said, we get introduced to a new character. I'm sure this character will have some sort of implication. I mean, obviously, Nox is working for her. I mentioned, obviously, I was wrong last week about Nox going in and out of, being able to go in and out of his coma state. So it sounds like he had asked, but that also kind of makes, I don't say contradicts things, because he had Atsumi paint those paintings, and then he at some point sold them to, or gave, donated them to museums. So I don't know when he had, like, it's, there's no, some point in that year after he left, after, before he went, I don't know, like, some of the stuff isn't lining up for me. When you think about it, like, when did he have the paintings made? When did he go into this coma? Was the lady constantly watching him, making sure he was in that dream world constantly? Was he able to be in and out of that dream world? Like, what's going on here? Like, we need more information. And I know we'll get it. Like I said before in the past, like, these shows, they give us the information when they need to, but they always give us the information. So either way, I'm having fun. This show is great. This show's a blast. And like I said, I'm going to look into the little mini series with Minami. I'm going to try and find those somewhere. Hopefully I find them online somewhere, because I'm interested in watching that. But other than that, that's all I've got. So thank you all for listening. Like I said on the last episode, there will be no episode this coming Thursday because of the Christmas holiday. But also, there's going to be no episode of Zets next week. So I will have a new episode of Kamurabi Ichigo next Monday to cover for that. And heck, who knows? Maybe if I can find some of those mini-me episodes, I can have that out instead. But we'll see. We'll see what I can figure out there. If not, there'll still be a Kamen Rider Chronicles episode next Monday. We'll see if it's going to be Ichigo or the other mini-series stuff going on. But that's going to be over at the Kamen Rider Chronicles. If you're listening to us through the comic book rundown, we also have the rundown reviews every Friday. Rundown Reviews also has its own feed. Getting Franchised is the last Sunday of the month. And yeah. At the beginning of the year, we'll have Comic Book Rundown every other Saturday. And you guys can hit us up on social media. Comic Book Rundown on all the socials. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. And that is about it. So Yeah, thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.